The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Temple, if one committed an aveira, a transgression, then he would bring a sacrifice, a korban. And he would have to do tshuva uvidui. Tshuva is repentance. Vidui, he would have to admit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu his chet, his sin. Today we do not have the Beis HaMikdash, and we do not have sacrifices. And I would like to quote a few halachos from the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva regarding Tshuva today. In Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, Bizman Hazeh Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim Vein Lanu Mizbeach Kapora. Today when we do not have the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, and we do not have an altar, Ein Shem Ela Tshuva. So we have only repentance. HaTshuva Mechaperes Al Kol HaAveiros. Tshuva atones for all aveiros, all transgressions. Afilo rosha kol yomav. The osa tshuva ba'achreina. Even if a person is a wicked person all of his days, but at the end of his days he does tshuva, ein maskiren leishum dove merishay. Then he is not reminded of his evilness at all. As it states, Shenemar Rishas HaRosha LeYikoshel Boi B'Yom Shuvah Merishay, that what he did in the past will not be an obstacle to him on the day when he repents. Batzomei Shel Yom HaKippurim Mechapeh L'Shovim. And to those who do tshuva, Yom Kippur will atone. As it states, Ki Vayim Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem, that this day shall atone for you. Then the Rambam continues. Ezu hi tshuva gemora. What is the proper tshuva? Ze shibol yodei dover sho'avar boi, ve'ef shibiyodei la'aseisei u'pirish. If a person has the opportunity to do the aveda, the transgression again, and he does not, and the reason, and he refrains from it because of tshuva, le mi yire vele mikishlin keach, not because of fear, or not because he is old and too weak to do the aveda, the transgression again, but he refrains from the transgression, the shem shemayim, because he wants to do tshuva. Then, this is the proper tshuva. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, V'zochas berecho b'mei b'chorosecho, that you shall remember your Creator in your youth. You shall remember to return to the Creator when you still have strength to do aveiros, to do transgressions. And this is the proper tshuva. Not when you're already too old and weak. Vim leishav ela b'mezik nusay ube eishi efshalav tseis masho hoy eise afal pishen tshuva meula me'elesi ubal tshuva hu. And if a person only returns to his Creator in his old age, and when he's too weak to do aveiros anymore, even though this is not the best tshuva, but nevertheless it is still tshuva. Afilo ovar kol yomo ve'osa tshuva b'yem yisosei u'meis b'tshuvosei kol aveinesov nimcholim. Even if he transgresses mitzvahs all of his life, and he does tshuva on the day of his death, his transgressions are forgiven. As it states, Ara shelei tekshach ha-shemesh ve'or va'yereach va'keichovim v'shovu ha'ovim achar ha-geshem shuhu yem ha-misu. As it states that even after the sun starts to darken, and even the stars and the moons. But this refers to the day of his death, but still, from here we learn that if he remembers his Creator, even in his old age, and he does tshuva, then he will be forgiven. What is the proper tshuva? That he must forsake his iniquities, and he must remove his desire for this particular transgression completely, and be very determined that he will never do this again, and regret for what he has done. And the Almighty will be able to testify on him that he will never do it again. And he admits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he has done. Then this is the proper tshuva. Then the Rambam writes a little further. Even though to repent and to ask for forgiveness and to admit and confess one's transgressions to the Almighty is always good, in the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it is especially good. And it's accepted immediately, as it states, "Dirshu Hashem b'motzo'o," that you shall seek Hashem when He is close to you. And in these days, He is close to Israel. Yom Kippurim huzman shuvah lechol leyochid l'rabim v'hu keitz mechila v'slicha l'Israel. Yom Kippur is the time of tshuva, and it's the last opportunity in the year that a person has, all of Israel. Therefore, all of Israel is obligated to do tshuva, l'isvades, and to the oshamnos, the gadnos, to admit their sins to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are a few excerpts of the halachos of tshuva from the Rambam. Now, a person shouldn't think that only someone who is known as balei averus, who have transgressed serious crimes or serious mitzvahs, these are the ones who are obligated to do tshuva. But others who keep Torah and mitzvahs, they are not obligated. This is not true. The fact is, we have in the Shemayna Esrei, which we say 3 times every day, we have a brocha, which is known as the Birchas HaTshuva. It's a brocha which speaks about tshuva. And we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for repentance. There we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seder Secho, V'Korveinu Malkeinu L'Avdei Secho, Achzereinu B'Shuva Shleima L'Fanecho, that you shall return us to your Torah and to serve you, and you should give us complete tshuva. This is a brocha that was not only made for the balei averus, for those who are always doing averus. This was made for every Jew and for fruma Jews also. My Rosh Hashiva, the Tazir Rosh Hashiva of Gifter, writes, he quotes a Rambam. It's actually, it's quoted from someone in the name of the Rambam, who heard it from his rabbeim, directly from the Rambam. Vishona Mati Mipi Harav Agodl Maran Morena Harav Rabavrom Sichnadri Shishoma Mipi Seifrim Ish Mipi Rambam. That one of the early Rishonim said that he heard from Rabbi Avraham, who heard from others directly from the Rambam, she'odim God lo hayereitz alikais vidu yom kippurim, that there was a great man, and he didn't want to read the vidui, the asamnus and the bagadnus that we say on Yom Kippur, ki yedei ba'atzmei shelo asa dvar aveda, because he knew in himself that he hadn't done any avedas during the course of the year. And why should he say something before HaKadosh Baruch Hu which is not true, that I have sinned and I have rebelled and so forth, when the emblem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth? Beheshiva Rambam, and the Rambam answered, Ilu yodato ato hanilvav kamachemar avedas Hashem yisale v'kamatzorich lavedas Hashem. If you would realize how difficult it is to serve Hashem properly, and how broad the undertaking is to serve Hashem, then you would realize that there is not one day of the year that goes by that you haven't transgressed everything which is said individually in the Hashamnos of Yom Kippurim. And not only that, but more. Why? Because the chol odom nida in kefi gedel chochmosei. Every person is judged according to his particular stature. If the person is a small person spiritually, so he's judged accordingly. But if he's a great person, if he's a giant, then he's judged accordingly. As it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dones HaTzadikim Kechut HaSarei, he judges his righteous with the breath of a hair, by the breath of a hair. We find by the episode of David and Bathsheba that David was chastised because he committed adultery with another man's wife. But she was not another man's wife. She was divorced from Uriah. She was a divorcee. Yet still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in accordance to David's stature, held him responsible as if he committed adultery. And he was also held responsible for killing Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, former husband, by sending him to the front lines. So he was held responsible for murder. Even though Uriah was guilty of the death penalty because he had rebelled against David, and David had the right to put him to death, and still HaKadosh Baruch Hu held him as a murderer. And when David was running from Shaul and he hid in the cave, and then he cut off his tzitzis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held him responsible for that. Even though not only did David have a right to cut off his tzitzis, he had a right to kill Shaul, because Shaul was a redef. He was pursuing David to kill him. In self-defense, he would have had a right to kill him. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges every person in accordance to his ability. We find in the Torah when Moshe struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock,
What does it say after that? Yana she'le'amantim bi, because you did not believe in me. Who believed in Hashem more than Moshe Rabbeinu? Who saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face and talked to him like a man to another man? Yet still HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Yana she'le'amantim bi, you struck that because you did not believe in me. The hate of a lack of emunah is the worst hate. And this is what he accused Moshe Rabbeinu of. So the Rambam said that v'af al dovezeh shedibar to'asur atolitin asadin. Not only do you do everything that we ask forgiveness for on Yom Kippur every day, but this itself is a great sin. So therefore, one must realize that tshuva is not only, it's a great error to think that it's for someone who has committed great sins, great and blatant sins, but for those who uphold Torah and mitzvahs, it's not. This is totally wrong. But every Jew is obligated, because every Jew is judged according to his ability. And the greater the individual, the greater the ability, so the greater the task that he must live up to. And if he fails, he has to do tshuva. So not like we find many times today, a false concept that the world is divided up between balei tshuva and those who are frum. Tshuva was given for all Jews. When we speak of doing tshuva from Averus, in general, we can divide all Averus into three groups. There is one group of Arvayonim, of people that commit Averus, because of a nefesh ra, because of evil. And this is the worst group. They do wrong because they have a desire to do wrong, because they have evil within them, an evil soul, an evil personality, then they desire to do wrong. And in this group of Averus would be such Averus as Loshon Hara, speaking evil against another person. This is just for the sake of doing evil. Hurting people. Person hurts another people physically, or he's mazik, he damages his property, he insults him, he embarrasses him. Or murder, and so forth. This is one group. There's a second group of Averus, and that comes from Taiva and Chemdo, of the desires that a person has, that comes Mahmas Haguf, the physical desires that he has. A person has physical desires to eat, to drink. Chemdas Hamomen, he has desires for wealth, for material possessions. Chemdas Noshim, he has desires for women. This also, these are a keches of the Yetzer Hara. This is when the body becomes elevated over the person's mind, and he eats what he shouldn't eat, he drinks what he shouldn't drink, and so forth. This is a second category. This is not as bad as the first category, because he's not driven to these, to fulfill these lusts merely because a desire to do evil. He has something from it. But when his body becomes the master over his mind, so then he's brought into these averus. And then there's a third group. And the third group is categorized as letzin, letzonis. That's when we destroy what was given to us. We squander what was given to us. We waste what was given to us. For example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us life. We squander our life. We squander our times with nothing, doing something of no importance. We squander our energies. We squander our mind, our speech, our material possessions. We do not give importance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. If we would realize how important life is, then we would utilize every minute of life. If we would realize how great the individual is, how great all of the abilities that was given to him, how great the human mind is and the human soul, we would constantly be striving for true achievements. And letzones is just the opposite. Gemara refers to the ultimate, and the letzones is the yeshvei kronies, those who stand around doing nothing, or they pursue emptiness. This is something we see very prevalent. We see, unfortunately, almost everything prevalent in our world. But the letzones, the emptiness, how people can squander away their lives. Actually, this is the total antithesis to the study of Torah. Because when a person studies Torah, so he takes his energies and his time and his ability, and he uses it in the highest endeavors of the world. This is why that there was a brocha for those who are able to come into the Beis HaMedrash and spend their days in the Beis HaMedrash, that they thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for placing our share, our portion in the Beis HaMedrash, and not amongst the Yeshvei Kronias, those who squander their times with achievements of nothingness. So that's the third category. And actually, these three categories covers all of the Averus in the Torah. And it affects every individual. The Maral brings that this is what Dovr HaMelech meant when he wrote in the beginning of Tehillim, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach batzis rishoy, that how fortunate is the man who has not walked in the way of the rishoy. Here he was referring to the rosho, to the evil one, those who desire evil because they are evil. Ubederech hatoim le'omad, and he did not stand amongst those who transgress, who hate him. This refers to those who do not impose discipline over themselves, and they let their bodies run wild, trying to take everything that they can. Ubameshiv leitzim lo yoshuv, and they did not sit amongst those who live empty lives, empty years, empty days. So these are avedas that we must do tshuva for. On the other hand, though, we must realize the greatness of the power of tshuva to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Rambam says, that tshuva mechaperes al kol avedas. The Gemara says, ein loch dover sheimid bifnei tshuva. There is nothing that will stand in front of tshuva. And to give an example, how great the power of tshuva is and how much it can purify an individual, I'd like to quote from a perek, a chapter in Yeshua, which we learned in the yeshiva not long ago. In Perek Beis it states, Vayishlach Yeshua ben Nun, when Yeshua entered into, before he was entering into Eretz Yisrael, he was going to cross the Yarden. He sent two Anoshim Raglim, two spies, to spy out the land. This was in Yericho in Jericho. And they came, nighttime they very quietly crossed over, and they took refuge in a house of a woman by the name of Rochav. Rochav, she was a zayna, she was a prostitute. They took refuge in her house. Two reasons are given. One is because if anybody saw them, then they were not expected from Israel. And secondly, they were trying to gather information, and they knew she was a very, very special woman, as we'll see in a minute, and they knew that she would be able to give them the information. Somehow, though, it was made known to the king that they were there. So he sent his soldiers to the house. Vatikachi isha shnei anoshim vatitzpenei. So she took the two men and she concealed them. Where did she conceal them? On the roof. Vatit menayim bepishtei ha'etz. Ha'aruches lo alagog. She had long stalks of flax on the roof, and she hid the men on the roof. After the soldiers left, so she came to these two Yisraelim, and she said, Ki shomane es asher hevis Hashem es me yamsuf mivneichem, that everyone has heard what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did on the Red Sea for Israel, and how he took Israel out of Egypt. Vanishma vayimas levavenu, and everyone is afraid and their hearts are melted. Veleikoma eidruach bish mipnechem, and there is no spirit left in any of the men. And then she said, I will help save you. She could have turned them over, or if she would have sent them out, they would have found them. She said, I will help save you. And she asked for a condition, that when Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael, at the time of the invasion, if you'll save my family, you must do this in return. Batoridein b'chevel b'arachalein. So she took a rope, and she put it through the window. She had lived in the wall of the city. Kiveso b'kira choyma, v'chayme hi yoshebes. And she lowered them out the window by the rope, which was, the house was in the wall of the city, and they were able to get out and escape. Now the Gemara brings in Masechta Zvachim and Daf Kuf Ktes Zayin Seif Omer Aleph and Omer Beis. The Gemara says that Rochav knew so much that was going on in the land, because Doma Mara in Lachos Ein Lacho Kol Sarve Nogid Shleibo Al Rochav Azeno. There was not a king or a prince in the entire land of Eretz Yisrael. And at that time, there were the seven great nations living there, and there were 31 kings that did not pay her regular visits. She being a prostitute. And therefore, she was in contact and she knew exactly what was happening. Omru bas yutshonim ha'iso kishiyotzi Yisrael mimitzrayim. It is said on her that she was 10 years old when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim. V'zon so kol mem shona shoy Yisrael b'midbor. And for 40 years, she was a prostitute. During the 40 years that they were in the desert. So at this time now, when they came, when the spies came to see her, she was 50. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah, the Gemara says, in Masechta Megillah and Daf Yudalit or Tesvav, the Gemara says that Rochav was from the four most beautiful women of creation. Rochav, Sora, Abigail, and Esther. And this is why she was such a famous woman. And for 40 years, she had these illicit relationships with the greatest of the land. And now, it was within her power to kill these Jews. It would have been nothing. She decided she'll save their lives. So she said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yemocha li'i b'chevel v'pishti v'chaloi shohayu manofim eilin eleho b'chavolin derech ha'chaloi v'yeridim v'gam t'mantim b'pishti eitz. When people used to come to visit me, so many times they would come, I would bring them up through the window and by the rope in order that no one should see them, or I would conceal them in the stalks of flax. So now that I am saving your servants, she said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am saving them with the flax, and I'm saving them with the rope, and I'm saving them with the window. Vimochali, forgive me on all of the sins that I have committed. Let the rope forgive me for the sins that I committed through the rope. And that the window that I am putting them out through, I should be forgiven with the sins I committed through the window, and with the flax that I saved them with, I shall be forgiven with the flax, with the sins that I committed through the flax. This is what she told HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara tells us that 3 years later, Achar Gimel Shono, after Klal Yisrael invaded Eretz Yisrael and they saved Rochav and her whole family, after 3 years later, Nisgayoro, she converted and she became a Jewess. Now, what happened to her? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah says Shmeine Nevim Vehem Kahanim, 8 prophets and they were Kahanim, Yotzu Me Rochav Hazena, were the offsprings of Rochav Hazena after she converted. And it lists, the Gemara lists the 8 prophets. Rabbi Hudaimah af Chulda Hanaviyah. And even Chulda Hanaviyah, one of the great prophetesses, Mibnei Bonel Shel Rochav Hazena Hayso. She also was a descendant of Rochav Hazena. So these were the descendants she had, 8 prophets who were Kahanim and a prophetess. Then the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says, but does it not say that Chulda was from the descendants of Yeshua? So how could she be from the descendants of Rochav? So the Gemara says, true. Igairo venos be Yeshua. She converted and she ended up marrying Yeshua. And therefore, Huldah was a descendant of both of them and the 8 prophets. Who was Yeshua? The Gemara says Yeshua was the greatest Talmid, disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Meshoris Meshe, the faithful servant of Meshe. It said he was Lima Teire Lechol Yisrael, Vihinchel Es Oretz. He taught Torah to all of Israel, and he inherited the land of Eretz Yisrael, something that even Meshe was not able to do. Yeshua did. He conquered the land. It states that Pnei Meshe Kepnei Achama, Upnei Yeshua Kepnei Alevona. the radiance of Moshe was equal to the sun, and the radiance of his disciple Yeshua was equal to the moon. And when they crossed the Jordan, he split the Jordan River, the waters stopped, and they piled up miles, the Gemara brings, into the heavens. And it says that from there, Yeshua became as well known as Moshe Rabbeinu. This was Yeshua. Now here we have a woman that it said that for 40 years she lived in sin. And there wasn't a tsar or a nogid. There wasn't a prince or king or nobleman that were not from her clients. She came from the very bottom and went to the very top. She couldn't have gone higher to become the wife of Yeshua. And from her should come eight prophets who were Kahanim and the prophetess Hulda. Here we see, this is one example of how great the power of tshuva is and how great it can bring a person. The Gemara brings in Masechta Menachos and Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis Gemara says Elu told us Hashemayim va'aretz bihi borom. These are the generations of the heaven and earth when Hashem created. Al tikre bihi borom ela behei borom. There's an extra hey. This means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a hey. Hevi aimer ela mazeh behei. From here we see the world was created with the Hebrew letter hey. Ubipnei ma nivra ela mazeh behei. Why was this world created with a hay? Mipnei shedeme l'aksadra. Because it's similar to an aksadra. An aksadra is an area that's walled in from three sides. The hay is walled in from three sides, the top and two sides on each side, and the bottom is open. Shikol ha'areitze lotze yitze. If someone is in the hay, he can go out through the bottom. This world is the same. Permission was granted to the individual where if he wants to be Yetze, he can be Yetze. If he wants to leave, he can go out through the bottom. This means he can sink. In this world, a person can sink to endless depths. And therefore, this world was created with the hay, because the hay has three sides and an open bottom. Umay taima tal yekara. Now, one leg of the hay joins the roof. But the other leg of the hay does not join the roof. So there's a space. The leg is hanging. So there's a space between the top of that leg and the roof of the hay. Why? The Hod B'Tshuva Ma'ayolele. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left part of the side open. And therefore, if he wants to return to the world, he can. So this is why the world was created with a hay, because the world is similar to a hay. If he wants to sink to the greatest depths, he can. If he wants to come back, though, after he has sunk, he can also come back. He can come back into the hay because the leg is open. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the door open for him. Ulay el bahach. So the Gemara says, what did he have to make an opening for him? He could come back in the same way he went out. He could come in through the bottom. Le mistayin milsa. Now that's too difficult, and it'll be too difficult for him. Kiroma Reish Lokish, like Reish Lokish said, Im leleitzim hu yolitz la'anovim yitein chen. If a person wants to do wrong, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets him. If he wants to do right, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets him, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. Habo letamei peischin lei. If you want to do wrong, nobody will stop you. If you want to do right, then not a Kodesh Baruch Hu won't stop you, he will help you. So therefore it's not right to let him come back the same way he went out. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu has to help him. So he made an easier doorway. So therefore he made a doorway by the leg. Umay taime islay tago. Why does the hay have a crown? The hay in the Sefer Torah, if you look at the letter hay in the Sefer Torah, you'll see it has a crown, a big crown. Why? Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu imchezer be'ani kesher lei kesher. Kesher. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that crown is for you that went out through the bottom. If you come back, I give you the crown. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you a crown. Now the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos tells us something similar. The Gemara Menachas is Chof Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos in Perek Habayna Daf Kuf Dalet. In the Hebrew alphabet, there's a Kuf and there's a Resh. Kuf, Resh, two letters next to each other. The Gemara says, what does Kuf stand for? It stands for Kodosh, he who is holy. HaKodosh Baruch Hu. Kuf represents Hashem, Kodosh. What does the Resh stand for? What does Rosho? That stands for the evil person. Then the Gemara says, why is the resh, the back of the resh, towards the kuf? You have the kuf and then you have the resh, but the resh is looking the other way. His back is towards the kuf. So Gemara says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned him around. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand to look at the face of a rosho. He says, Yistakel b'pnei rosho, you must not look at an evil person. So therefore he turned the resh around, so the back was towards him. Then the Gemara says, "My time of Mahadre Tago the Kuf, the Gabi Resh." Now the part of the Kuf is facing the back of the Resh, and the leg of the Kuf also does not reach the top of the Kuf. There's an opening there. Why is there an opening there? Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu im chayzer bei ani keshel ei keser kemesi. Because, no, excuse me. No, the Gemara says, my time am ahadrei tagi the kuf legabi reish. There's a crown on the kuf. And the crown of the kuf is facing the reish. Why? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though I cannot stand to look at the Rosho, but if he will be Chazer, if he'll turn around and face me, he'll come back to me, then Ani Keshele Keser Kemaisi. I will give him a crown like my crown. See, the Kuf, which stands for Hashem, who is Kodesh, has a crown. If the Resh will come and do tshuva and come back to me, I will give him a crown like my crown, Keser Kemaisi. And then the Gemara says the same thing. Why is the leg of the kuf short and it doesn't come all the way up to the roof of the kuf? In order for him to leave a Pesach, a doorway open for him to return. So the Gemara says, but he could come all the way around the other side because the other side of the kuf is open. So the Gemara says the same thing. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps those to do tshuva. So what do we see from these Gemaras? We see as follows. First of all, we see that for a person to do tshuva, he needs the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. Mora says that the Yetzer Hara is too strong, and he needs the help of Hashem. But we see that Hashem wants the person. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not Reitzer, he doesn't want Berishis HaRosho. He's not interested that the evil should remain evil. He's not interested that the evil should be destroyed. He'd rather have them do tshuva and come back to him. He wants it. And therefore, he does everything in his power to help someone to do tshuva. Habo l'taher, mesayin esoy. A person wants to do evil, then he allows him to do evil. This is a world of free choice. But if he wants to do good, if he wants to come back to Hashem, then Hashem helps him. And he makes new doorways for him. He makes easier doorways for him. And here we see a principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it easier for him to do tshuva. The Shas, in many places, mentions that where the Chachomim made many dispensations, many leniencies for a person to do tshuva. It was called Takonis HaShovim. One example the Gemara brings, a gazlan. If you steal, for example, wood, and he builds bookcases out of it. Now he wants to come and do tshuva. The actual halacha is that the wood can be dissembled. So you must take apart his bookcases and return the wood. This is the basic law. So the Chachomim, the sages, said, will make it easier for him. Because in such a case, maybe this will prevent him from doing tshuva. So it will be sufficient if he pays the money. Let him keep his wood, keep the wood and the bookcases and pay the money. The Gemara calls this Takonis HaShovim. And actually, the source, Rebbetzin once said this, that from this Gemara they have a source. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it easier for people to do tshuva. So this is where the Chazal learned that we must make it easier for them. This is many places in the Gemara. When people are returning to Hashem, they're returning to mitzvahs, or a person himself is improving himself over something that he was not doing properly, he wants to do it properly, the way to do it is the easy way, not the difficult way. Unfortunately, in our times, we don't see this. We see many people who are being brought back to Torah and mitzvahs, and they're given great difficulties. They're given great chumras. This is not the way, the derech of the Torah, and this is not the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a mitzvah, the Gemara says, to be meikel. It's a mitzvah to be lenient for the Balei Tshuva. Gemara says, Takonis HaShovim. Fact is, in the Shailas and Shuvas, in the Sifrei Shailas and Shuvas, is full with this, where all kind of leniencies were made in order to make it easier for people to return. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The person who wanted to return, he could have come up through the door on the bottom of the hay, or he could have come up through the back door of the kuf. And still HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I'll make an easier door for him to return. So this is another principle that we see. And then we see another principle. When he does return, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a crown. And a crown, he says, Kemesi, like my crown. So we see, and the crown he didn't have before, that by going through the bottom and then coming back, he gets a crown. This crown represents a very, very high level. And the Gemara says, Keser Kemesi, a crown like mine. This represents a level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the Gemara means in Yuma. Daf Pei Vav Amar Aleph. Amar Reb Levi G'day L'Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKovet. How great is Tshuva, where it reaches to the very throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we see he gives the crown of the Kuf. The Kuf represented Kodesh Hashem. That was his crown. He says, I give it to him. He who has returned to me. The Gemara in Masechet Brachos and Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, the Gemara brings as follows. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. In Yeshayahu Nun Zayin that states, Shalom, Shalom, Lerochek Ulekorov. We give Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Shalom to those who are far away and to those who are close. Now it says, to those who are far away, you give Shalom first. Now generally, if somebody comes in for a simcha, so it's their heritage to welcome those who came from a further distance than to those who came from a closer distance. Because those who came from a further distance had to put forth much more effort. So this would mean Shalom Shalom Lerochek Ulekorov. That first you welcome those who came from afar, and then you welcome those who came from close. But the Gemara wants to learn from here Aloha. So the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yechanan says, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Kol Nevim Kulam Leinis Nabu Elu Lebalei Tshuva.
He says, in all of the visions of the prophets, the greatest vision that they could come to would be a vision which was equal to the level that Balei Tshuva can come to. But Tzadikim Gemurim are people who were always righteous and they never sinned. According to what we read from the Rambam, so this must be a very, very great tzaddik. A person who never sinned. So Rabbi Yechanan said that Ein Leiros Elokim Zolasecho. That level, even the prophets couldn't see. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see that level. So the Gemara says that Pligad Rabbabo, Rabbi Yechanan is in disagreement with Rabbabo, because Rabbabo says Mokum Shebalei Tshuva Ein Din, Tzadikim Gemurim Einam Ein Din. Rabbabo said that, what do you mean that the prophets could only see to the level of the Balei Tshuva, but to the righteous, the totally righteous persons, they could not see to. A Baal Tshuva becomes even greater than the totally righteous. This is what Rabbi Bo says. And he brings the proof from this posuk, as it states, Shalom, Shalom, Lerochek Ulekorev, Lerechek Bereisho Vehode Lekorev. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu greets his servants. So first he extends the shalom to those who came from afar. That's the Balei Tshuva. And then he extends shalom to those who came from close by. Rabbi Yechanan disagrees though. And he says, what does it mean? And he learns the pasuk means differently. What does it mean, Rochek? First he extends shalom to those who are far. He says those who were always far from Aveda. And then he extends shalom to those who were close to Aveda, but then further than themselves. So it's a machlekes. It's a machlekes in the Gemara. Who is greater? Those who never tasted sin, or those who tasted sin, came close to sin, but then separated themselves from it. And it's a machlekes in the Gemara. It's a machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Bo. Now from here we see how great the level is of a Baal Tshuva. Not only according to the one who holds the Baal Tshuva is the greatest, that's for sure, but even according to the Rabbi Yechanan, he also agrees that the level of the Baal Tshuva is so great that only the Tzaddik Gomer, the total Tzaddik, is greater than him. And this was the highest level that the Nevi'im, that the prophets, were able to visualize. Now, a few things we must mention here. Firstly, the Maral says that this doesn't mean that anyone who does tshuva automatically becomes on a higher level of the greatest tzaddikim. Now, it's speaking about two people who are equal. If you have two people and they're equal in their deeds, and they're equal in their Torah, except one was always a tzaddik, he never tasted sin, and the other was someone who tasted sin and did tshuva. This is the machlekes, this is the question, who is greater? But it's speaking about people who are otherwise equal to each other in their deeds, in their mitzvahs, and in their Torah. Now what is the reason for their machlekes? There's a Ponim lekan lekan. There are two ways to view this. From one aspect, the Tzadik Gomer is greater because he never came into contact with sin. He's totally pure. He was always rochek, distanced himself from sin. Therefore, he's greater. But from the other aspect, the Baal Teshuva is greater. Why? Because since he was close to sin, sin had become a part of him. And now for him to do tshuva, he has to separate himself. He has to separate and elevate himself and divorce himself from the sin. And this takes a far greater power to bring himself to this level than was necessary for the tzaddik, for the first one to. The first one brought himself to such a level, but it didn't take that much power because he never was attached to hate, to sin. But the Baal Teshuva, who first was a hater, so he became attached to a sin. And a sin, the Gemara tells us, becomes attached to one. It becomes part of the person. And now he has to divorce himself from it, and he has to elevate himself above it. So this takes far greater power and force and motivation. So therefore his powers are greater than the Tzadik Gomer. So this would be the svara, the reason why he would be greater. And this is the essence of tshuva. The essence of tshuva is that when a person comes close to sin, he falls. He falls into the physical world. The neshama is tahora, the neshama was given to him pure. But when it goes into the body, and together with the yetzahora and the nature of the body, so a person falls. And the closer he comes to hate, the more attached he becomes to it. And the more attached he becomes to it, the more he falls. And it continues and continues. And tshuva is where a person changes himself. He improves himself, he changes himself. He divorces himself. He separates himself to elevate himself beyond that physical level and to become free of it. And he has the power to do it because the neshama that was given to him was pure. And because he elevates himself, he's elevated himself from the physical world, and he comes to enormous levels. At Kisi HaKovet, to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a crown, Kimesi, a crown like I have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. This is the reason that this power of tshuva is a power which is beyond the physical world. It's not part of the physical world. It's a power beyond the physical world. The Gemara brings in Masechet Nedarim on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, it brings Zayin Dvorim Nivru Kedem Ha'Olam. There were seven things which were created before the world was created, and one is tshuva. This was a power which was created before the world. So therefore from here we see the level that a person can come to from tshuva with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. And we must value very much this opportunity. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Oves, in Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud Ches, Yofe Shoachas Mitshuva Umaisim Tevim Mikol Chai Elam Abo. That one moment of tshuva in deeds in this world in an aspect is greater than all of the next world. And we said in the Shir not long ago, where the wonderful explanation from the Maralmi Prague. Why? He said, because tshuva and maisim tovim do not exist in the next world. Tshuva is something which can only exist in this world. And the same thing with maisim tovim, with deeds. Because tshuva is change. It's improvement and change. And change is only in this world. The physical world is a world of change. People are constantly changing. Things are constantly changing. Maisim tovim, deeds, these are the fruits of men. The sages tell us, Eile told us, Meach is sadik b'dei reisov. These are the generations, the fruits of Meach. Meach was a righteous person. What does it mean, these were the fruits? That the fruits of man are his deeds. Just like a tree has fruits, a man has fruits. And what are his fruits? His achievements. His true achievements. These are his fruits. Now this can only be in this world, where everything in this world was created not in its fullness, not in its maturity. Everything in this world, we see the nature of this world, where everything is born into this world at a very immature state, and it unfolds and grows in the world. For example, a tree is not brought into the world in full blossom, in full fruit. Animals are not. And the same with people. The solar system is not like that. The solar system was created in its fullness. But this world that we live on, the Oretz, is not. This is a world of growth, of fulfillment, and of change. Olam Haba, the world to come, there, that's a world of perfection, where everything that enters into the world to come is already perfected. At whatever state a person enters into it, this is his fullness. So therefore, tshuva and maisim tovim is only in this world. In this world of constant growth, where everything seeks a fulfillment, and everything seeks improvement and change, there is tshuva and maisim tovim. But in the world to come, which is a constant world, and there is no change, and everything is fulfilled before going into it, there is no tshuva, and there are no maisim tovim. Therefore, a person must value every minute of this world, because it's only on this world that is possible. Therefore, yofesh o'achas shel tshuva maisim tovim be'elam hazeh, that how great one moment of the opportunity of tshuva and deeds in this world is greater than kol chayei olam haba, than all of the life of the world to come, because there it is not existent. These are some thoughts on the process of tshuva and the greatness that tshuva brings a person to. And as the Rambam says, that even though the entire year we must constantly try to grow and we must constantly try to improve ourselves, but during Aser Shemei Tshuva, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and especially on Yom Kippur, there our tshuva is given a special siyat rishmaya, a special help from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We should all be zeche to see. It states that the Melech HaMashiach and the ultimate perfection of the world will come with b'shus ha-tshuva. The natural process of the world, which returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should be zeche to see this, and a gemar chasim ha-teva and shalom b'chol Yisrael and to the entire world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.